It's blazing hot outside. You get into your car and turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro recharge kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero, David.
No DIY experience needed. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro. Hey, Dana, this is going to be Chris Kattan this week, and Chris was overlapping with me for a while, maybe you. I was just going to tell you that I got a lot of good feedback from the last couple of shows.
Really? Which ones?
We don't really talk about this. Paul Rudd was on. Will Ferrell obviously was a home run, you know, because he's so entrenched in SNL, and he's one of the all-time greats. And
Super talented.
You know, Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was voted one of the, I forgot to tell him, I was voted one of the sexiest men in America. But when I looked, it said, one of the sexiest. I'm the one of the hottest sixes. I'm a six, yeah.
Oh, you're a six?
Yeah.
I don't know, on a one to 10?
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, different setup or something, kind of lost in translation.
I'm one of the sexiest men in America.
Yeah, but you're not even one to 10. I don't know.
Yeah, I think people say, your book should be called My Life is a Six. I'm like, I'm at least a 6.5, right?
Well, Dana? The job of the woman who's going to land David Spade is to convince you you're a 10.
There you go.
Or an 11. Yeah. Well, why can't you be? Women, look, here's David, we haven't talked about this before. Okay. You can shut the camera off.
Okay, please.
Women like other things than just raw handsomeness. I mean, my looks don't matter. Am I really good looking? Yeah. Is it a big deal? No, I don't lean into it. Women can like sense of humor and smarts. And I put you at a 12 there.
Okay. Thank you.
See? I'm tearing up.
Also,
Evan, did you wipe the tear?
Yeah, that was very sweet. I'm not even going to say the next thing. Let's talk about Chris Kattan. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to start crying. is it my new sweater? No, I don't want to talk about it. It looks like old OP.
Well, it looks kind of vintage.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah.
Well, look at this. Want to touch it?
This is the one you showed me.
Bro. I know. This is one I wear every week. Fans love it.
Fans freak out.
Of Kattan, bring up my cool meter for a second.
Get your shades on. Kattan.
Kattan is a brilliant comedian.
He did a great job on that show.
His physicality with Mr. Peepers, it sounds funny, but as good as it gets, his commitment, brilliant.
Who do you play? Mango? I played Kiwi on one of the ones when I hosted. He played Mango, and we had a fight. It's pretty funny.
Well, yeah, Mango is...
You know, Mango, he's...
I know, it's such a quirky character, but we talk all about that. Yeah. We talk about Mr. Peepers, and we do get into how he got injured with all his throwing himself around the set. A lot of people have gotten some pain from that. Did you ever hurt yourself, fall backwards or anything?
Going to catering once, I slipped on a... Somebody put some
Lauren
peas
had
on
you
the
catering even in your third season.
David, if you don't...
all the hot dogs are on one tray. It's not, it's not rocket science.
It's so simple. If you have time, I'm going to cut your update to give you a little more time. He also talks about Will Ferrell and all the stuff they did together. And then and he's on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Yeah, and just is a really nice guy.
Packed full of action stuff.
Yeah, enjoyed that interview a lot. So I hope you do too. I really do.
All right, Chris Kattan.
Chris Kattan.
Is that better?
Yes.
All
yes.
Right, great.
You know what the bad news is?
Sorry about that technology.
We're out of time. No, it's fine.
How would Mango have tolerated?
How would Mango deal with this?
I don't know what the frick.
What the frick?
Hey, Dana, you know, I did a Mango. Chris, do you remember?
I do remember that. Are we starting? No.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I was Kiwi, your arch enemy.
Yeah, you're Kiwi, and you got your buddy Chris Rock to be in it too as well, which was very nice of you.
Oh, did he? What did he do?
Yeah, he did. He did a little cameo. He was just like, you know, at the door saying, Mango, can I I want you or something. I don't know. He played himself.
That was his read. Mango. I want
something
you.
Like that.
I want you. Mango.
You know what's funny? I saw him on the show with someone about 2 weeks ago and then about a month ago. And I go, Rock, you're actually on the show more now than when you were a cast member.
I know.
And he hangs out a lot too, right?
He just goes there. Why not? It's like a club.
I know. It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
If I wasn't hosting and I was in New York, I've only been there once. Mm. I was actually, well, the 40th, but that doesn't
count. Do you like going down the hallway and seeing pictures of yourself from 40 years ago doing a sketch?
I have a difficult time trying to find them.
You're like, where's the Catan section?
I know.
Is there any pictures of me on this wall? Where is it?
If you look at Anna Gasteyer's ones, you take them off and then we see you. I don't know. I have no
idea.
It's behind Anna of all people.
Get out of here. You're an all-star.
I do remember that though. Remember, I don't know if you ever felt this, but there was something about being on that show and being like, is there a picture of me outside of Lauren's office? Like, ooh, as if that meant something. Like, oh, well, look, there's a picture of me in this sketch, and it's outside of Lauren's office. Like, that's something special.
Yes.
You know what? That right. When you go up the stairs to people listening, eighth floor is where you shoot the show. If you walk up the stairs, ninth floor, it's also the balcony of the audience where you can watch, and it's also Lauren's office, and that's where they pick the sketches and on the air night.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk up those steps and you're walking to Lauren's door, there's a secret door you can go in.
That's right.
But if there's framed photos. And I would always like to be on one of those because the host would see it and then they would go, oh, that guy's on the show. He must be something. But there weren't any of me.
We're all wounded little clowns.
They were all of Dana.
Everybody gets into that. Where's my photo?
Where is it? Why not me?
I would get very relaxed when I would see Lauren on a show day. He'd have a tall, foot-long glass. He'd take an Amstel Light.
Yeah.
Right. Amstel Light. I remember that.
Which is like 2% alcohol, whatever. That's how he, you know. And then he would do that long pour.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, we have a show today. He's pretty relaxed. I guess we're in good shape.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'd have a drink with him watching the monitors underneath the bleachers because I had nothing to do in the show.
You guys are so self-deprecating about there.
Hey, Lauren, can I get an Amstel?
I don't think I sat with him in that, like, in a way of being, you know, relaxed with him. I remember just being in there to get notes. But his notes were going through whomever was there at the time, like someone like Lyle or, I don't know, someone was giving the notes to me through. Lauren was telling her the notes, and then she was telling me the notes.
And you were 1 foot away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I like that. I forgot about under the bleachers, there's a monitor, and Lauren watches the show. And then he says what he's thinking during dress, and the Lyle and someone write him down, maybe Aaron.
Yes.
And then
Aaron. Right.
Aaron Maroney. And then they go,
I remember.
He goes, too much blue. All right, what's he doing here? We don't need that entrance. Why do I see that trophy? Bring Keith in here.
That's not a Chardonnay. It's more the color of a Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Why are these shorts too tight?
I can see Catan's balls.
Why are the testicles so wide?
Why is one lumpier than the other?
How old is he? I forgot.
How old is Catan? Can he be younger?
Catan is Catan. Isn't that what he is?
Isn't that what he is? Isn't he a full sentence, Chris Catan?
Like a little boy.
Yeah, Spate.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I first got on the show, I was, well, put in your office or shared an office with you. And you remember that? You and I and Hugh Fink were...
Fink was in that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mates.
96.
I don't remember that much because I thought they sequestered me and Hugh away from everyone because I didn't do many sketches. That was a year, Dana. I stayed 1 year, maybe too long. And
right. I mean, you weren't there too long.
Lauren goes, if you stay... do 5 minutes a week. You can do whatever you want.
I was so excited to be seeing you because I was like a huge, I'm still a huge fan, but at that point I was like a really a huge, like I loved your Tom Petty. I loved your like, I was like, oh my God, I was showing my mom, like I'm showing an office of Spade. It's crazy. You know, I was so like, and you were totally relaxed, of course, you know, you were so dry and like,
I feel David, you're too relaxed. No, I that was a way when I got there, you just see people that have been on. So it's fun to say,
Right.
Oh, I'm with people that are actually on. They've been through the fucking grind. It's like Saving Private Ryan, and you're the new guy, and they're like already in the middle of their hike, and you're like, "Hey, I'm new," and they're like, "Get in line, we're going in." You're like, "We're already? What? I don't know anything yet." They're all grizzled vets. Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening, but I just stuck with. But Lauren was helpful. He was just telling. He told Shoemaker to tell. Say that. Why don't you try out the gibberish guy? So that's what I did the first week that I was on.
Was that your first sketch?
Yeah, I was the Shul Forrester. Good afternoon, Asamada.
Yeah.
But they asked me to do that thing because I had no idea what to do otherwise. I was like sitting in front of a computer and I didn't know what to do. It was like 6 weeks before the end of the season.
Putting diarrhea in your pants. Yeah, you came in mid-season?
Actually, 6 weeks before the end of the season, which is not after mid-season.
Yeah, I came in 4 weeks before the end. I know that's definitely weird because it's already going. It's already happening and no one's got time for you.
Yeah, but I was really excited to be in the same office with you. I was like freaking out.
What did you bring from the Groundlings? Or like, they'd say have some stuff in your back pocket. Was the gibberish guy one of those?
The Sue Forrester, Mr. Peepers, and Mr. Peepers, the monkey thing, which was made. Thank you very much. Please hold up.
Well, I want to talk about Mr. Peepers because I go by like when I watch the show and something is kind of supernatural, like I've never seen before. It never gets out of my brain. And that one was like, wow, this is so different. It's like it's so cool. Weird.
Was that the eat the apple?
That's where I eat the apple and then I dry hump somebody.
Yeah. But to turn yourself into a monkey, a human like animal.
I'm half man, half monkey. So that's what I was.
That's what he was in your turtle. He's literally a hybrid, half man, half monkey.
Basically, yeah.
I was there for a read through the first time. Mr. Peepers, Catan walks out half man, half monkey, wearing
Pews
a diaper. Puse
his apple, takes a bite.
Why? And then I got on the table to like, I have to show that I can do this physically. Cause it was
sketch. You got on the table?
Oh, no.
In the read-through
in front of 60 people.
Yeah, people were not very happy about that.
Because you're getting apple shillings on everyone.
All over everybody.
Don't get juiced.
Really?
Yeah, I got on there. I got like even jumped on the
main table.
The table. And then at one point I went to the window, like behind Lorne, and jumped off there. And I even remember Pete.
Yeah.
And Piedmont was like, Jesus, Catan. Like,
who was the host? Do you remember?
Jesus, Catan.
I don't know. Probably like Charlize Theron, or I think it was Charlize Theron.
Do you remember, Dana? I wasn't there, but a story where Ben Stiller, Dolly Parton was the host, and
I was there.
Yeah, what happened? He did U2 or something.
Well, Ben stayed up all night working on a U2 sketch. I was the Edge. He was Bono. and Ben decided we would all get up in the read-through room with the 60 people and put on like a sketch. But Ben had a loose vest on with no shirt underneath. And Ben stayed up all night and had not showered. And he put Dolly Parton right up against him. And it was interesting. Poor Ben.
Well, she has like double D. Well, I don't know. Why are we talking about that? Anyway. That must have been an interesting sight.
I think everyone knows Dolly Parton has big boobs.
When Dolly did the show, where I'm on the soundstage with Phil and John, and she goes, okay, boys, I'll look away so you can look at them. I'm going to look away now.
Is that what she said?
Look all you want.
Get a good
look. I remember
seeing
9 to 5 as a kid, and I was like, ugh.
I love 9 to 5.
9 to 5, yeah.
Remember that movie with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda?
Hell yes.
I remember her.
That's grit.
So how long were you at Groundlings anyway? How long of stay? And your dad was the beginning. He started it with people, basically, which is amazing.
He was one of the founders, yeah. So he was in the main, or there wasn't a Sunday show then. So, yeah, he was one of the main, he was a cast member, original one, with Paul Rubens and,
Oh, wow. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
But he was there. I'm trying to think who else. Lauren Newman and, you know, those.
Oh, wow.
That cast, I think. And that's what inspired me. And he's passed away, but he did all the sticky stuff. He was actually in a class that Jerry Lewis taught once in the 50s.
Wow.
So your dad is doing all this, and then you're a little kid, and so you're being exposed to comedy constantly as a little kid.
He watched a lot of old movies. I mean, you guys probably had the same thing. You were educated someplace, somewhere, of some sort of inspiration, and was what inspired me. I don't know what inspired you, Dana. I mean, you must have, like, were you in the doing to the mirror kind of thing alone in a jail cell?
It was, you know, well, there were five kids.
Jail cell.
Four boys, five kids, and yeah, I kind of had a dream of it, like by the time I was 8, 9, or 10, of just being one of those guys on TV. I didn't think movies or even Saturday Night Live. It was just Danny Kaye or, you know, I don't know, Smothers Brothers. So I had a secret dream, but I went into cross country and track. I never took theater. I was a busboy, then a waiter, and I finally got on Courage, and I had years of stage fright, like little physical manifestations of trying to do stand-up. So that's how I got into it. But my dad was a high school teacher and my mom was a preschool teacher. But it's interesting to have a dad who specifically, yes, is a comedy sketch wonder kind.
Well, it's probably high pressure because they judge, you think they're judging, are you any good? And you're probably not that good. My dad was kind of funny, like dads are. And so I'm trying to make him laugh. And my comedy sort of gets shaped by what he thinks is funny. But he took me to Young Frankenstein and he took me to some movies that he thought was funny. And it kind of made me go, oh, is that, you know, you're going to be a student of your dad's comedy in a weird way, indirectly. What he laughs at, he watched MASH. That was kind of dry. I like that. And so that actually helped. If he was a super cornball, it might have thrown me.
Well, you taught me about, I mean, you kind of like introduced me to dry humor. I mean, there was other dry comedians, but you, Spade, were like the shit. I mean,
driest.
You were like, wow, you just totally stamped sarcasm on television, like to the ultimate level. And it was like really cool to see. And I remember that because I was like brought up like, my dad would show me older things like old Hollywood, you know, like the Chaplin, the Keaton, and the Marx Brothers, not Costello.
A lot of physicality. Yeah.
But also banter, like bits, you know.
Marx,
like,
Brothers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but older Hollywood too, like Black and White, you know, stuff in the 40s and the 50s and that stuff. And
1840s.
And I love, I love the team stuff, between one person and another. And I thought connection and that kind of thing was really cool to see. And that's what really inspired me too. Like, you had that with Farley too. Yeah. And, you know, that was really cool to see.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking of Farley the other day because one time, I know you have sort of, we both have neck troubles sometimes. I think yours pretty bad too. Yours is probably worse at this point, to be honest. But I was doing a motivational speaker. Maybe yours is better. I don't know. I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just saying, I know you've had some trouble.
Oh, no, I know.
And
I'm going to text you.
I did a motivational speaker and I, and he picked me up and he dropped me like backwards through a table and it fucking hurt. And I rolled off and he goes, you acted like you were hurt at the end. It ruined it. I go, well, we're already at commercial and it did hurt. I had a 1,000-pound ox fall on me.
You don't want Chris Farley throwing you around. That's not good. Can we do some jokes? Do I have to be?
Anyway, it was funny that then I got up and I was like, ow, but my neck had been bad the whole time.
Yeah.
I separated my shoulder. It bothers me to this day, but it's very functional on SNL doing I really was stupid to do it. It was over an ottoman doing like a Dick Van Dyke type thing, but I was Dan Quayle. Just went over and crunched it. And because I don't know, maybe my childhood was pretty rough. I did like two more. Then I was walking around with my shoulder up and Mary Tyler Moore was the host and her husband was there. He's a doctor. He goes, I think you separated your shoulder. So, but it was non-surgical. And the next night I had to do all these quick changes. But anyway, you know, you get hurt in show business.
Did they pop it in?
No, they didn't pop it in. I got a bump, but I work it a lot. I keep it loose. I broke my ankle on a Sandler movie too, but that's fine. We don't want Sandler right. listening to this going, I can't do Sandler.
Were you, I got to a place where I was like, you know, used to the pain, but I, like a trooper, like a, you know, a football guy, you know, I was like, I just got to keep going, got to go with it, you know, and not rest the pain. And I tell somebody, you know, and like, I don't want to. I did tell somebody, but I was just still like embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
Well, it's also what you don't want instinctually, because I had the bypass when I was 42. You don't want, some people like to be pitied. I find it an uncomfortable emotion of this sort of like,
yeah,
oh, Chris.
Right.
So I do understand the idea of like, let's just not make this become my trademark or how people see me.
Right.
And so for years I had that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, do you feel okay today? You know, that well-intended people, by the way, but you know,
I do that when I'm on a movie and they go, Spade's got a bad neck. And then by the time it gets around the crew, they're like, you have to go up on this, this step of this ladder. It's about 6 inches up. Do you need help? Should we get your guy in here to do it? And I go, I can step up a step. Okay. You don't have to do anything. We'll bring your stuntman in. We'll bring him in for the day. My stuntman was literally in the wings at all times, smoking, going, I think I should do this one. I'm like, it's just shaking hands with someone. He's like, you know, we don't need you to throw your shoulder out because you're the biggest pussy in America.
Did your stuntman look like you?
He sort of does. I think I still have the same one. I think I'm starting to look older than them so much. We have to get a new one. Like it's older and older with me, but we had a good one and they love doing stunts, man. It's so funny on movies. I didn't realize till later they get paid per stunt. So if they look at the monitor and everyone goes, I liked it. You want to do it again? They go, yeah. And I go, oh, he wants to do it again. And the stuntman once said, the head of it goes, coordinator goes, he's never going to say no. He gets paid every time. So he'll break his neck. He doesn't care. He just has to keep doing it. So I said, oh, let's not put him through it. But it's like bike wipeouts or falling off a cliff. And you go, they love it. They're good at it. I don't know if they love it. They're good
Well, sometimes they love it.
I was about to say, I don't know if they love it, but tough job.
I had a guy tap out. I had a stunt guy had to go into a big barrel of ice cold goo, like submerged 6 feet under. So you couldn't see or hear. Every orifice was full. And he literally came up and he'd done other stunts. And then he kind of had a panic attack. So it was with Anthony Hopkins. So I had to go get in the goo. And that's where my childhood kicked in. I didn't like it, but fuck it. I'll just do it. You know,
doesn't Anthony Hopkins do his own stunts? That's what I hear.
Are you talking about Tony?
Oh, gross.
Anthony Hopkins and I
call him Tone.
Yeah, I called him Hoppy by the end, but it's Hoppy. Not a competition. Listen,
we
bonded over our mutual crazy fathers. And then the last day of shooting, he kind of sounded like Robin Williams. He's so charismatic, just bizarre in a chair. Oh, do you want to come in my trailer for lunch? So I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. But then a woman from Entertainment Tonight was there and says, well, you're scheduled to do this interview. And she started crying. So I cancel it. And then his assistant, it was the last day of shooting. She said, that was the first time Tony ever invited someone into his trailer.
And you fucked him over?
But my Entertainment Tonight segment, apparently it was great.
Oh, it's great. Honestly, I'm going to look that
regrets,
up.
Regrets, but
I loved Entertainment Tonight. I was such a, I remember when
can
I
you do the theme? Theme song?
Jody Watley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? Did the theme music to it.
Tesh?
Da-da-da-da-da.
John Tesh.
Yeah, John Tesh. That's right. John Tesh. He wrote the music.
Hey, Chris Kattan, when you did Elian Gonzalez, would they let you do that again today, you think?
Whoops, cancel.
Well, I'm doing an Elian Gonzalez film.
Are you doing a docuseries for Apple TV?
Yes.
The later days?
No.
Can you even tell me a little bit of how he talked? We just want to see what the censor, probably the algorithm will shut it down. Yeah. The algorithm will shut it down if it's...
Well, picture some child talking softly.
Talking softly, that's it.
Okay.
And you did on the show. I think you did it, right?
Yeah, I did.
And that's so funny. And then right now...
I love that you brought that up.
Characters. I did Ching Change. If they ever find that, I'm done.
No, sorry, but they... Because we were thinking that there's a lot of stuff where you do something on the show back then. Like I asked Timmy Meadows, could you play a woman now on the show? And he said, I don't know. So like, could you play a Mexican-American on a show today? And I don't know if they'd let you do that.
Probably not. I did an Antonio Banderas, and I don't think that was I don't know if I could do Antonio Banderas now. Could I?
I don't know.
I do sometimes for fun. If I'm doing stand up, I love to do Al Pacino from Scarface. But the way I set it up, I go, I'm doing Al Pacino's really bizarre Cuban accent.
Blame Al Pacino.
Well, I say it's one of my favorite performances, but it's so abstracted, you know? Say goodbye to the bad guy. But still, I don't know when I might be cancelable, but, you know, I definitely am down to Western Europe pretty much, Scandinavian accents.
Right.
But the rest of the world is off base. Australian, we can still do Australian.
Mm. You could do a cowboy, can't you?
Just just a cowboy, like John Wayne or something?
Yeah.
Well, come on, Catan.
Cowboy have limit.
Looking to save on delivery? DashPass from DoorDash is your door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. DashPass is an exclusive membership with DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts. Whether it's food from your favorite restaurants, grocery from across town, or anything in between, DashPass is the most affordable way to get everything you need delivered right to your door. With $0 delivery fees and lower service fees on eligible orders, DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites on DoorDash. DashPass pays for itself in 2 orders on average. Plus, DashPass gives you special access to exclusive promotions and menu items, all for $9.99 a month. Get more from delivery for less with DashPass. $0 delivery fees and reduced service fees on eligible DoorDash orders. Sign up for DashPass today and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change. Terms apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, "The more MQLs, the better," over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/wall to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/wall. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I just love that you're still doing great impressions, even though you're not on SNL anymore. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
good
it's
at
just
it.
Like, you're so good at it, but you're still aware. And you're like, you're so good at impressions. I used to like, go out with this girl and she was like obsessed with you. And we were like, I then became obsessed with you because of your characters. It was like, what is he going to be in a cold opening? What's the cold opening?
Yeah.
Is he going to be in a cold opening? You know, it was all like, you know, and you had this,
thank you.
You know, you were doing cold openings for years, you know,
I've seen him do stand up. Actually, Dana, the guy that booked me at this thing this weekend, he goes, I booked Dana and Don Henley at that gig that I came to.
Oh, yeah.
And Dana kills. He does these private functions. Sometimes Chris too, we all do these private things and no one sees him.
Totally.
But Dana goes out there and does 18 different presidents and he does all these impressions and it fucking kills. And then I go up there and I go,
yeah,
hey, dogs are funny. And everyone's like, dogs? What is he talking about? They don't relate to me at all.
Well, it's basically, it's doing sketches as a stand-up. So
right.
When it works, it works. But in a big room, and if you have great jokes like Dennis Miller or you, they will carry over. I mean, Chris and I did one of the weirdest gigs in Laughlin, Nevada. And it was like
That's raking light
in the afternoon with sun in your eyes.
Oh, you guys? I love it.
A giant 3,000-seater with maybe 100 people. And wind, you know, and I'm going, this is just impossible. And I'm kind of doing these little characters, you know, and it's like, you know, but thank you, Chris. That's very nice.
Yeah. Well, of course, that's what was happening. It's not like me. It's like, that's what was going on in comedy.
Hey, Chris, I have a question. It's not about that crummy gig you just did with Dana. this is about, by the way, that's the gig I probably auditioned for and didn't get.
You auditioned for stand-up?
I auditioned for your guys' stand-up over there. And they said,
David's
no,
the new nickname is Self-Deprecate. It's
no,
a character.
I think it's funny. No, I did gigs this weekend. I don't know when this will air, probably in 2028. But I did a gig this weekend. And there's so many different types of corporate gigs that are so funny to do because most of them are hard. Most of them you do medium at best. It's very hard to kill. Because you're usually going on in between the Cordon Bleu and the people are eating and clanking. And they're almost, you feel like they were told right before, do not connect eyes with the comedian. Always look away and talk about something else while he's on stage. Because you're on stage going, are out of your fucking mind? They're like, they're all chuffing in the background. You go, it's so funny. But anyway.
I did a gun show once. They all got these big stakes. It was in Reno.
Yeah.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the comedy shenanigans of Dana Flurfo. And they just have the fork and knife. Their elbows are way out. Their backs are to me. And they're just chowing down. Every once in a while, they would look over their neck and kind of nod a little bit.
And they're like, why is this guy so noisy behind me?
I did a show. And it was like, I don't know. It was in Colorado. And there was an elevation situation. So, you know, when people were drinking, that one drink is equivalent to like three drinks. So everybody was wasted in the audience.
Yeah. Awesome.
They were just like, and there was one girl in the front row was like, no, he's arguing with her boyfriend while I was on, like, no, you don't. You tell him. I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, about
it
you?
Was great. No, well, it was like, am I involved in something that I just, how can I be involved in something that I'm not, I don't even know who you are. I was thinking that, but you know, they're like, no, I'm not going to say, you can't say anyway. And, but it gave me probably, you know, it gave me some material.
By the way, did you do a commercial? Was it the What Is Love?
Yeah.
And that was a commercial with Super Bowl?
It was a Super Bowl
Whoa.
Commercial.
Yeah. Nice. Those are nice.
Yeah, that was fun.
And it was other people doing it, right? To it?
It was, yes. It was, what was her? Missy Elliott and somebody else. And then they said, oh, this is a really big budget. So they literally went to other countries to see people bop their heads.
Oh, that's good.
Like that. Like people in Japan, you know, or penguins in Alaska were bopping their heads. It was like...
Penguins are expensive.
It took like weeks to shoot.
Can you still do it? Or does it hurt your head?
No, I can do it.
Where did that come from, Chris? That sketch and then movie with Will?
We were in the Groundlings and Will worked at Butterfield and Butterfield. And
I remember that. I saw him.
And we were like, joined at the hips, like all the time. We would do temp jobs. One time he was an elf. Oh no, I was an elf and he was Santa. And we're like walking around and
really
Pasadena.
All these things that seem like sketches.
Pretty much.
That's funny.
We live like sketches.
So this is the early 90s before you got on, or late 80s, early 90s?
No, it was like 94.
So you guys were still not making a living being funny at that point. You had to do these. What?
No, not at all. We were like making, you know, it was like unemployment or like whatever, you know, unemployment and whatever you got. But he met his wife at Butterfield and Butterfield, actually, Vivica. So that's a good thing. So I met myself and whatever, play with myself. I don't know. Anyway, so we went to a bar and we saw a guy at the bar alone. And he was like, just doing the thing to the, it was all
like he's pointing at a girl, pointing back at himself.
Yeah. He literally turned, he got a drink at the bar. He was like this. And then he turned to, you know, to the dance floor.
Yeah,
and was like, you know, do you want me to dance?
You want me to come
like
out?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want it? You don't. Okay. That's fine. Whatever. So that was basically it. And we're like, God, that guy is so pathetic.
You know what? It's very hard to take a funny scene like that where you know it's funny and you got to figure out. I mean, you guys are sort of just doing that, but I've seen scenes in life that I go, that's so funny. And it's to transfer that into a sketch, you can fucking ruin it. You can do it wrong and you go, God, what did I do wrong here? Because I know it's good. I just am not adapting it perfectly for what it should be something. But you got the music right. You got the look right. It was a funny hook.
The song was perfect. And did in the sketch, did they talk or no? On
No, originally they weren't meant to talk.
It was just music over it?
Yeah.
But how long were they? How long were those sketches then? You had no verbal comedy. It was all physical.
Well, we would go when Jim Carrey came on, and that was Fred Wolf's idea to add a third guy.
Hey, David. And hey, Chris. Fred Wolf. Well, yeah. Fred just joined in. Hey.
Hey, you're good. You're
that's
not.
A good
you're
friend.
Not. So, you're good. You're good. That's good. You're not so good. No, that's funny. That's not so funny.
He'd always walk around with a cigarette behind his ear, but he never smoked it.
Hey, Chris, mostly. I don't smoke, but can I talk to you after? Chris, first of all, you're so good. It was so good. You're so fucking funny. That
no, it's really funny. I'm not just saying this. I'm not just saying this. Really funny. You were good. You're not so good. Anyway, no, it doesn't really matter.
I tell Dana all the time. Dana's the funniest. I'm sorry. I told Dana he's the funniest. But you would never do something in my movie. You would never. I mean, you're too busy. There's no way. And you don't know. Do you still know?
This is like the greatest thing I've ever heard. It really is. Really is. I'm sorry. I just wanted to join in the party.
Dana, I was thinking about the thing you said the other night. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Do you care if I write that up? Can I write that up?
It's ridiculous. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Funniest thing I've ever seen.
All Fred Wolf, folks.
No, I'm not just saying this. Lauren said it was the funniest thing he's ever seen. Not just saying that. You know, anyway.
Chris, I remember one with Sherry O'Terry getting smashed in the middle. And what was Jim Carrey just doing it with you guys? That must have been a monster one. I think I remember that.
I do remember that.
Yeah, that was the sketch that took off. And I was listening to that kind of music, like techno music. I don't know why I liked it, but Will was like, you take care of the songs because I don't know anything about that weird, strange kind of music.
You're like, all you need is one winner like that. That's one fucking song. It worked. Yeah. And did you guys, so you did a commercial of
that one.
Did you ever do, was there talk of a, did you do a movie of that? You did Night at the Roxbury.
Night at the Roxbury, yeah. Absolutely. And that's why you decided how they would talk and how did they, I mean, just that we're kind of.
We just sat in a room in front of John Goldwyn, and we were like, he's like, so what do they sound like? Who, by the way, has a lot of energy. I think he still does, probably.
Probably, yeah.
And very sweet guy. And he's like, so what do they sound like? And Will and I were like, we don't. We're not ready for this.
I know you're like, you could fuck it up because you could go, my guy sounds like this, and everyone's like, uh-oh. Yeah.
Well, anyway, yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
No.
I thought they would be sort of Eastern European for some reason.
That was later. We were like, do we decide? We have to decide because we're writing a script now. Like, where are they from? We don't know anything. And somebody said, like, they're from, you know, the Brooklyn, or like, no, they're from Beverly Hills. And no, they're Eastern European, you know. And mm-hmm. Steve Corn was the writer too, as well. Mm-hmm. Will and I and Steve Corn would write it. But when we sat in front of Goldwyn, we're like, what do we say? So we went, what's up? And Will went, what's up? And Goldwyn was like,
I love it.
So that was it.
I love it. Print it. Lunch.
So Korn wrote the movie with you and Will?
Yeah. We would be at the Four Seasons while we were doing, Lauren gave us a room at the Four Seasons to write after we wrote sketches at SNL.
Oh.
So we wrote the script while doing the show, which probably happened a lot.
And then you go to the Four Seasons in New York?
This was in New York, yeah. Wow. And then when we had a week off, we go to Paramount and we go in Lauren's office.
Mm-hmm.
And your old friend Erin was there, and she like just say, okay, she'd open up the place and we go write the.
And Lauren's like, the film I'm there. Over here now. Mm-hmm. you saw me in New York, now I'm in LA.
Yeah. But his office used to be, it was like when he got that office at Paramount or got it again, because he did Black Sheep with you, and he did Tommy Boy, and then he did Wayne's World with you, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would refer to those all the time, obviously, because that was his Paramount stuff, and they did so well. Mm-hmm. And people loved it, but we got that office, and it used to be Crocodile Dundee's office. So they were taking off the Crocodile Dundee posters and putting up the Lorne movies, like Coneheads and Three Amigos.
That's not a noise.
Crocodile Dundee is down.
God, Lorne's got some hits over there. Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette,
Celeste Barber, great, Janet Jackson, Nasty Boys, great song.
You like to go to Kids Bop Kids. That's their Sammy Hagar. I'd go to. I went to see the Doobie Brothers. I'd probably go again. Good old Whitney Cummings.
Yeah.
Train and REO Speedwagon. There's so many more for way less. Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long for just $25 each.
Wow. That is a good, that's a good deal.
You got to visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now. What is it?
livenation.com/concertweek to buy now. David, whether you have a few weeks old puppy or a senior who's seen multiple decades, any dog person like me knows the most valuable thing in the world is spending time with your pet.
Yep.
The Farmer's Dog makes it easy to keep them healthy, which can give you more quality years with your lovely dog.
Yeah, well, I've heard Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. And, you know, that's what everyone's looking for. It's recommended by vets, nutritionally balanced. It's made from human-grade ingredients. Safe, clean kitchens, all that stuff matters.
Yeah. I mean, you love your dog. Why get the lousy food for your dog? Farmer's Dog is the best. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are extremely processed.
Sometimes
they use
dogs...
much lower quality. Yeah.
you put it in their bowl and they go, what is this kibble? And they knock it away. What is this canned goo?
Oh, yeah. I've had our dog, yeah, look at the bowl and then kind of crank its neck up and look at me. And it was like, really?
They go, really? Why don't you go first? You want a bite of this? Slop.
And it makes that sound.
Here you go, dog.
So Farmer's Dog isn't just higher quality food. They also send the food pre-portioned specifically for your dog based on their unique nutritional needs. It makes it easy to help your dog reach and stay at their ideal weight, David, and which is one of the biggest indicators of a full, healthy life. A fresh diet has been found to have all sorts of benefits, David, from healthier coat and skin, better breath if you want to kiss your dog, and even easier digestion and smaller and better poops.
Let's look at a clip. It doesn't matter if your dog's young or old. It's always the right time to invest in their health for more happy years with your dog. Get 50% off your first box at farmersdog.com/fly.
Let the Farmer's Dog know we sent you. Use your code or click podcast after you sign up for your first box. Would you like to learn a new language?
We. See what I did?
Oh.
No, I said we like French.
Oh, okay.
We,
we. We, we.
I have, ever since I've seen Pepe Le Pew and his way with women, I thought, I want to learn a new language.
You know what? I do have a, because I'm a, I do voices and stuff. I do like the sound of French language.
Yeah, you're good at faking a language.
I just do gibberish, but I want to actually learn. And that's, I'm going to introduce you in the world to Rosetta Stone. It's the most trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app. And it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn.
Yes, I've heard about this and talked about it for a long time. It's a trusted expert for 30 years. They have millions of users, 25 languages offered. So I think that pretty much covers the globe. You've got your Spanish, your French, you were just talking about, Korean, Dutch, Arabic,
everywhere.
Fast language acquisition. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. That's the hard part, I think.
That's it. And it's an intuitive process. You pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. And it's all designed for long-term retention, which is great because I took Spanish for 12 years and all I know is how to find a library.
Yes,
donde,
I know.
Donde está la biblioteca. So this one, really, really, you retain it.
I learned German and I know hast du Western now aber. No, hast du Bruder? No. Nein, abracabras, weiß Schwester. That means, do you have a brother? No, but I have three sisters.
I took German for 7 years, and all I remember is, Gesundheit. What does that mean?
That means bless you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so someone sneezes. Gesundheit. Rosetta Stone, that's not going to happen. Another thing I love is they have a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. That's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Very important to being understood in a foreign country is to do it in kind of the rhythm of the way that language is spoke.
Right. You don't look like some clown. Desktop and app options, audio companion, ability to download lessons offline. Mm-hmm. By the way, the lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in your life. Mm-hmm. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. What are we waiting for? It's a steal.
What is going on? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Fly on the Wall listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
Oh, yeah. Visit rosettastone.com/fly. That's 50. That's like the highest I've heard of. 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/fly today.
What was the great one with your brain when the dog was, he smells my dog.
Massive Head Wound Harry.
Yes. My God. What a great
fucking
sketch.
Head Wound Harry. I wish we'd show a clip of that.
That was the dog. You know, I was just writing great writing. I was just walking through, but the dog, they put, I guess it was like Gerber's baby food or something on this prosthetic skull I had.
To make him lick it, right?
They put a little bit at dress.
He was pulling it.
Yeah,
like
he fucking ripped it off.
I know, and I had a Lucille Ball moment where it's like, okay, do I hold the wig on
right,
or do I let the wig go off? But I just thought, oh, the sketch is going so good, I'll hold the wig on so it won't become about that. Maybe it was the bad choice, but when a dog goes crazy, the audience goes crazy.
And you go, he smells my dog or something?
Yeah.
He says he smells my dog. Mm-hmm. But he was literally pulling the thing off her head.
Yeah.
And that's
stretching
what was
it.
So genius about it. Like, it was such a struggle for that dog.
Oh, yeah. No, we fought it out. He wanted that rubber head of mine.
So,
and
Dana,
I was holding
you're
it.
Saying a dress, they put a little, and then they fucking overdid on air, and it went chaos.
The dog
hilarious.
Went crazy. Dog
That's
went dog.
What happened. Oh,
so
okay.
funny. That's a genius who put that on there.
Did you guys ever have a sketch with an animal during your time there? I don't remember.
I think I had there was a real monkey in a Mr. Peepers thing, but we didn't touch it.
Was that the same monkey that Mike used for Sprockets? They just had one monkey that they...
Yeah, that was the one. It was under Lauren's desk, ready to go anytime.
Oh, Sprockets monkey just waiting at the station for the call in his dressing room?
Yeah, exactly.
What about... Yeah. Oh, you did Dancing with the Stars too. Was it too hard? I've thought about that show and I go, I would collapse so quickly.
Yeah, that's a good thing to bring up. Let's Dance with the Stars. Yeah, so I was on Dance with the Stars, and it's amazing how much those dancers are like, they were so trained. I mean, like,
yeah, they're
not trained,
they're
like
so
they're
good.
So good. They're so good.
And they're so motivated, and they give you like caveats, like you get more money if you stay a week, or they get more money, something and they want you to have followers. You want people to call in. So those kind of shows incorporate everything that helps them. And it's actually helps you too. But those shows seem so hard because just regular, I think the training, they're so tough about, they do not want you. It's an all day event. They're just like, the more you train, the better you're going to win. You're like, I know, but I'm fucking lazy. I don't want to do this all day.
Yeah, I wasn't lazy. I was in it, but it was just hard. And they were like, make me do moves that I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And they're I was kind of like, and you may be like a situated. So it's like more about, but easier for me. So I could just do a couple moves.
Yeah, they trick it to where they look like you're doing a lot, but you're really not doing that much, hopefully.
Yeah, it's like, I can't spin like that. And like, there's like, Simone Biles is like doing these incredible moves and she's like a gymnast. I'm like, I can't compete for that.
You know, she was on your same one. I would just quit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
She was incredible. And like, the background had fire going on. I'm like, mine has like little snow.
Sparklers.
We should do a show sketch comedy with the dancers and bring them out and go, come on, now hit that line. No, slow down.
Yeah.
Pivot. You're mugging.
You're mugging.
Just a spray tan budget alone. I mean, it is a fun show to watch. Everyone gets to know. Everyone's good looking. All the guys, all the girls. It's unbelievable. But it's turned into such a biz over there. Everything about it.
Yeah, it was I did learn a lot about followers. I remember because I was with Whitney Carson. She's like, you got to get these followers here. I'm like, oh, is that what's going on? I did not know that was an important thing.
I learned a lot about Vicodin. I mean, when you get sore, I get sore just going to the mailbox. So I go, up, oh, time for a Vicodin. I wouldn't do it, but I just picked up a kettlebell.
Oh, you just have a little Tito's neat and a Vicodin. It's 10 a.m.
Like a little
no
Tito's
one cares
neat.
That it's a morning thing just to take the edge off.
No, a little Diet Coke.
I was taking gabapentin was the thing that they gave me. Gabapentin.
Yes.
Never even heard of that one.
Oh, Spade, you got it. That's because it's not narcotic, and that's the stuff that loosens. Oh, I don't want to get technical or scientific, but that helps.
text me off the air with
the
pill emoticon. Put that all the way across. That'll get my attention.
I'll take a photograph of a pill and text you.
I go to pill identifier. It's like my number one Google thing. I'm like, hey, I just found this on the carpet. Should I take it? It says 119. Yeah, they're like, that's a Tic Tac.
It's got like a little horse on it.
Yeah, it seems like it's within the last couple of years. It should be fine.
Yeah. What do you mean it's acid?
Just take it. How about you take it? We figure out what it is. All right.
Yeah, that's a good. Oh, I love being a guinea pig. That'd be so fun.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be the guinea pig.
Yeah. Dana, where are you? Are you up north?
Southern California.
You are. I did a comedy thing, and the guy was like, I got to go to this club because your son is running it, apparently.
Three wheel. He's a part owner, and it's like a 70s seater. I'm actually going to play it. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Can you fill 70?
I don't know if I could fill 70 because it's the younger audience and you go up and you're kind of the craggy old guy, you know?
Hey, everybody, what's going on TikTok?
I remember when Milton Berle visited San Francisco, I was doing stand-up and Milton is here. You know, he's like 82, but he wants to be one of the fellas.
Yeah.
I'm like 24. Right. But I always loved older comedians. I always, you know, thought they were the coolest. Don Rickles. You do stand up around local clubs and stuff?
Sometimes I'll go do, like, I did the Improv last week, or I'll do the Comedy Store or something, but I haven't done that in a little while. But I'll do that. I like going out. Like, I was out with last weekend or 2 days ago with Lovitz and Tim Meadows, and we did a show.
Yeah.
And that's fun to do that kind of a thing, you know.
And what's your first laugh when you go on stage? Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Kattan.
Oh. Good question.
When I say what everybody says, good night, everybody.
That's all right. You just have to do something.
Everybody does that joke. No.
Good night, everybody.
Well, thank you, Kattan. It's good to chat with you, bud.
Yeah, man. It's great talking to you too. And Dana, it's a pleasure.
Really nice. Nice to see you, Chris. You're so
thanks,
lovely, likable, and friendly.
Is this show going to, like, is
this will
this
never
every
air,
week
no.
thing?
It won't be on anything.
It'll never air. Good.
It'll be out at a certain time soon. We're just, you know, and, you know, I'm just in my room, and I'm getting to see people that I've had different kinds of interactions with throughout the year.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great idea. When I heard that you guys were doing a show together, I was like, oh shit, that's amazing. So thank you so much for having me on. I can't tell you how excited I am.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And thank you for being a sport.
Thanks, guys. And Dana, I guess I'll run into you down the line.
Yeah. You're still doing stand-up and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll see you.
Go stretch yourself out. We'll go to Koi.
All right, bye, guys.
Koi.
Yeah,
all right,
Koi.
Chris.
Blue ribbon.
Have a good day, Chris. Enjoyed it.
All right, guys.
This has been a podcast presentation of Cadence 13. Please listen, then rate, review, and follow all episodes. Available now for free wherever you get your podcast.
No joke, folks.
Fly on the Wall has been a presentation of Cadence 13, executive produced by Dana Carvey and David Spade, Chris Corcoran of Cadence 13, and Charlie Finan of Brillstein Entertainment.
The show's lead producer is Greg Holtzman, with production and engineering support from Serena Regan and Chris Basil of Cadence 13.